everyone, welcome to another brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the main host and frontman for the show, and this week we will be talking about Otakon. That's right, this past Friday, August the 11th, we went to Otakon to cover it with our first ever official major convention press pass. That's right, and to kind of give you, the audience, who might have went this year, or just want to find out about the show, a little bit of context and history about the show and so forth and so on. And why, if you've been listening to the show for quite some time, you might have heard some reference to some of the hate that we had, or at least I had, going into the show this year. And I would like to at least cover that first to explain that to you and to some of you where I was coming from when I went to the show this year. And I'm not going to spoil you, any of you, in reference to what I think now in any way, shape, or form. Please bear with me. This is going to take a while. That's the point of the show. But back in 2006, I did go to Otakon when it was in the Baltimore Convention Center in Baltimore, Maryland. And the reason why I went was not only because I was a casual fan of anime at the time, but I had a lot of people come up to me that were teachers and parents who had kids or knew a lot of kids who were starting to get into anime at this time. And like I said, this was 2006. The popular animes at the time, if my memory holds, were Inuyasha, Trigun, Full Metal Alchemist, and there might have been a few others popping up at that time as well. I think Yu Yu Hakusho was part of this as well. All of these shows, I think, were on Cartoon Network at the time, between, I think, 9 p.m. and maybe 11 p.m., maybe midnight, because of the off chance of any possible adult themes that might have been part of these shows. Yet most of these shows seemed a little bit along the lines of Yu-Gi-Oh!, meaning they were more kid-friendly, or if not teen-friendly. So their thought, the parents and the teachers' thought, was go to find the biggest geek that they would know and ask him or her, which turned out to be me. So I decided, because I didn't know that much, I knew more than them, but I didn't know that much myself. So I did a little bit of online research. I used my Columbo-like skills, detective skills, and I went online and I found out about Otakon. And so I decided, I had the money, I decided to go to this convention, Otakon, back in 2006, to get even more information, to better inform myself and the people I knew, my colleagues, my acquaintances, and everybody that pretty much came up to me to ask a question about it. And that, even to this day, is my belief that a convention is the best part, or the best place to get a whole mess of information about a fandom or a hobby. And I think a lot of you listeners can agree to that. So I went, and the first problem I saw or ran into at that point was spending $60, if not more, on a 3-day pass, when in reality all I wanted to do was go one day and just experience the show to see if I liked it, which forced me to go all 3 days. And each day I went, I just became more and more pissed. So it just outweighed, each incident just piled on to each other. And when I went that first day, which was a Friday, and I found out online through their, once you signed up and through their emails, that you were able to pick up, the tickets were not mailed at that at that time. I'm not sure about this year. But the tickets were not mailed out, or the passes were not mailed out to anyone. And they, at that time, if my memory holds, they told everybody, if you want to pick up your tickets, you are able to do it the Wednesday and Thursday prior. And I think it was Wednesday. If I'm wrong, those who remember back to 2006, please inform me if I'm wrong. It was at least the Thursday before. I'm not sure about the Wednesday. So, that happened. But I didn't go. I was, due to my 9-to-5 job at the time, or where I was working at the time, I couldn't get there to pick up my ticket at will call either the days that were offered to pick up early. So I left at my usual time from where I was living to get to Baltimore by 8 a.m. When I got there, there were immediately three lines wrapped around the block waiting to get into the convention center. And by the time the show started that day, the lines, at least two of the lines, were even longer. And that was the will call line, or the people that waited until, or were only able to make it on Friday to pick up their ticket, and the tickets that were not sold yet. Because from what I could remember, they had a limit cap of 45,000 people only, because of, if I remember correctly, that's what the fire marshal told them in Baltimore, that they had the limit for that building was 45,000 people. And apparently they had a lot of tickets left over that they were able to sell. And again, when I arrived there, there were three lines. One was to buy a ticket. The second line was the will call line. And the third line was the line for those who already had their passes or tickets. None of the lines were marked, or you had to kind of ask a bunch of people. There were no volunteers outside at the time saying, that's the for people who need to buy a ticket, that's the will call line, or that's the ticket, that line that you already had a pass. And by the time I got in, like I said, I got there at 8 a.m., and I believe the show started at 10. I didn't get inside to pick up my pass until roughly 11:30. And that meant I was outside waiting to get in for an hour and a half for a convention that had, in essence, already started. So, in essence, I was outside and for 3.5 hours waiting to get in. And so, even though I was talking to a few people outside, the overall air, for the exception of a few people, I mean remotely few, for in reference to, I recognized the cosplay that they were doing, and talking a little bit about them, about that particular, the particular characters they were dressed up as, most of the air was kind of off-putting, that they didn't want to talk or chat about the fandom or anything like that. And by the time I got inside, it was a little bit worse, and it just felt like I was not welcome there, even as a casual fan. There was no "Hi, how you doing?" Well, the air was very snobbish and unwelcoming. A lot of the people even dressed up at that particular time in 2006, they didn't want to be photographed. Granted, I obliged, I didn't take a photograph, but the general complaint was, I don't know why I'm being photographed. If I wanted, I don't have time to be photographed. I came here to enjoy the show, to pick up a few things that I'm looking for as a fan, meaning whatever, if they were looking for a specific manga that they were looking for, or a specific DVD that they were looking for, they were miffed that they kept getting stopped every 5 minutes to have their photograph being taken by somebody admiring their cosplay. And for those who have listened prior, our episodes over the past 2 years, you might have remembered me asking Joe and her friends, Joe Colton and her friends, on the interview about this, because she is a cosplayer. I don't remember what she might have answered. She said, yes, sometimes it happens, but my gripe was that if you're there to pick up a lot of items or to enjoy the show, kind of step away from the cosplay for a little while. Go back to the hotel and, you know, put on general non-cosplay clothing so you could partake in the con festivities a little bit more. But that's beside the point. Back to the issue at hand. At this particular event year in 2006, it was my observation that there was, for every person that was there not dressed up as a cosplayer or a character or from a anime or the whatnot, there was at least 8 or 9 people that actually were. So the ratio between a cosplayer and a non-cosplayer was very high, favoring the cosplayer. And it was just and the cosplay ranged from the very well done and the very detailed at the time, and even the ratio of those who were dressed up in cosplay was the better part of the anime culture and the Japanese culture and the so forth, so on, which means, or I should say, the Asian culture to bulk everything together, meaning that there were more, you know, characters from anime than, let's say, Superman, Batman, and other characters, even though there was a few non-anime characters, like, I think there was a few Marvel characters mixed in, there were a few DC characters mixed in, I think there was a Stargate person dressed up in a Stargate SG-1 uniform, there was someone dressed up as as Chef from South Park, but those numbers were very small, but again, they were very detailed and very well done cosplaying outfits. And the range was from that point that they were really well done, like they had a professional hand or someone who really took the time to do the accurate detail in their cosplay outfit, to those who looked like they just didn't care. And I'm not talking about Party City or a Halloween store type of store-bought outfit. I'm talking that they didn't even know how to sew anything together, and they claimed it was a quote-unquote cosplay of a particular character. And there was one group of people that made their costume, I am not kidding you, folks, they made their outfits out of Dr. Pepper cardboard containers. I'm not kidding about this. There was a lot there were times it was like, oh dear God, the outfit I'm looking at is blinding me, it's so ugly. But there were a lot of times that the outfit I saw was, wow, that's a very interesting outfit. But again, at the time, the convention center in 2006 in Baltimore was very rude, very off-putting. It was very unwelcoming to a newcomer to their convention and to the fandom at large. That first day when I went to approach the dealer's room, I've at maybe closer to 12 noon, I was told by I think it was a volunteer at the time, that the dealer's room line has been capped. That's the only group of people we're allowing into the dealer's room. We're starting a backup line for those who we think that will be allowed to go into the dealer's room. Which kind of off-put me, because that's basically what a convention is. It's a dealer's room. It's a, not just panels, it's a dealer's room. And they said, the volunteer said, you could come back at 1 o'clock to see if we'll be doing such a thing. I did go back at 1 p.m., and there was a line backed up and looped around where the other line ended. And I spoke to the volunteer, and she said, I believe it was a she, said that the secondary line has also been capped, which miffed me off. Is why would you cap a dealer's room? Because, again, some of the people, or if not most of the people that are in attendance, would love to see what is being sold and the celebrities. At this time, day one, I didn't go into the dealer's room because, again, of that limitation of we're not only allowing certain people, and seeing the gaming room was also a similar futile thing, meaning that the line was backed up, no one was being able to go on, extra people were going in and coming out, and there was a uber long line. It just seemed cramped, uncomfortable, unwelcoming for that day one. Day two, I decided to, not to mention day one, I got into a conversation with a fellow guest near one of the hallway walls, which means that we were out of the way from any foot traffic. We weren't blocking anything, and we were talking about anime. We were talking about web cartoons, especially Foamy the Squirrel. And one members of security came up to us, and I'm not sure if it was the show security or the convention center security. The person just had security on their shirt, and it was hard to see if it was, I'm not talking somebody claiming that they were security by just having a security shirt on. This person had all the official, either the convention center patches or the staff patches and the staff stuff on him. And he told both of us that we had to break it up and move along because we were blocking the hallway near the wall, that the hallway was a good 40, 50 feet wide, and in dead center of this hallway was a quote-unquote, I'm going to use it like that, mock fight between pirates versus ninjas versus Street Fighter going on. And that's what miffed me. One of the things that majorly miffed me off day one, because here was an activity that might have been considered unprofessional or unwilling, not right for the convention, or shouldn't have been going on at the convention, and security was turning a blind eye to that, to someone two people having a general conversation about their favorite anime type thing. So after that, I was there for maybe about 3-4 hours before calling it quits and just going home. The next day I decided, because I was on the mindset of I'm not just going one day, I am going, swear, I literally told my co-host, because he's the person that I was friends with at that time, that I'm going all 3 days. I refuse to waste the additional $40 on this ticket, because I thought spending $60 just to go one day was a waste of money. So I went back the next day gun-hoing for the dealer's room and getting in that line. Now, they kept smushing everybody together for this line, which meant a very nice gentleman with his girlfriend in front of me, and a father with his at least one daughter and one or two of her friends, because there were three young girls with him. So I'm going to at least say he was there with at least one child and two of her friends. So my hands were dangerously close in violation of accidentally, not on purpose, touching, inappropriately touching either, you know, I mean, I don't want to say like that, but it was that dangerously close. And I literally had to step almost completely out of line so I could give them enough courtesy room, because we kept getting squished closer and closer and closer together. Not to mention, we were so close, the air conditioning that was being pumped throughout the convention center became completely useless because of all the people cramped together. And the limited number of people in the, when we finally got into the dealer's room, it was they could have put way more people in there, and it probably wouldn't have felt totally cramped. So they could have just easily kept people circulating through. And but the general atmosphere of a lot, for the exception of the major industry folks that were there, I'm talking about like VidMe or like Funimation or Anime USA or a lot of these anime companies that are out there, the other vendors had this air of, who the frig are you? Why are you here? It there was that level, again, that level of snobbiness, that level of, even though I'm a dealer, I am better than you. Whereas the major industry standards, again, like Animation USA, VidMe, the crunchy rolls of the industry, were the welcoming people hey, how you doing? Or the Anime USAs were like, hey, how you doing? Come here, let me tell you about what we're putting out this upcoming year and what we have put out in the past. Now, when I migrated over to the Artist Alley, they had the same attitude of, who the hell are you? Why are you here? Whereas a typical Artist Alley in a convention center for a Comic-Con, per se, like a Baltimore, there's always people trying to draw your attention to their stuff because they're indie creators. That's their job. They want you to pay attention to them. They're kind of like the carnival barker that, hey, look it over here, look at what I have. This Otakon 2006, it was more or less like the, who the hell are you? Why are you looking at my stuff? Why should I sell you my stuff? And it was that attitude. But over the course of the 3 days, even the third day was more of the same. The same attitude, the same everything else. The second day I was there maybe a few hours longer than the first day. The third day I was there maybe even less. I was there maybe about 2 hours, three at the most, because I couldn't stand it anymore. And at that point, as I was leaving, I hear two people behind me talking loudly about how one of them was at, the person stated that they were at a New York City Comic-Con or a convention in New York City, and that there were people there like Todd McFarlane and Kevin Smith all going blah, 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 buy my shit, and how anime conventions are way better than conventions like New York City Comic-Con for the such reason. That they were bad-mouthing conventions like Baltimore, New York City. Like, this person was just such a anime snob and a manga snob that the comic geek in me, the loyalist for Baltimore Comic-Con, wanted to deck this SOB hard, hard. And all I could help but think about was, I gotta come back here in a little more than a month to Baltimore Comic Con. I don't want to be banned from the convention center. I do not want to get arrested in Baltimore, Maryland, especially for decking a jack-off. And the thing is, I did get a chance the following year, or a year or two later, to speak briefly with Todd McFarlane. And I relate the story as quickly as I can, because there was a very long line behind me, and I didn't want to take up too much time. And he pretty much told me, at that Baltimore Comic Con experience, he said, "It's my job to say, in essence, blah, 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 buy my shit, because that's my job. Because I have toys, I help create the McFarlane line of toys. I'm still a member of Image Comics, and I still have, at that time, even though it was on DVD, Spawn was on DVD, it was on HBO, the animated series was on HBO already, so he had stuff to sell, so it's his job to promote that. And I had to agree with Todd McFarlane, because people like him and like Kevin Smith have projects that they have to sell or get out to the world. So that's the point of conventions and the dealers room and the guests, because they could still be in projects with stuff like Dragon Ball Z, which I think currently still has a new series coming out or is out. Or like Michelle Knotts, who voices Jessie from Team Rocket in Pokemon, she still works with the Pokemon franchise. So it's in her nature to promote Pokemon, because it's, in essence, more funds in her pocket, and it helps ratings for the show to be relevant. So that's the aspect of things. And it's just, again, the rudeness, the unwelcomeness of it. I did not feel welcome in that aspect, not to mention of my unfamiliarity of me being very unfamiliar with a lot of the characters or the cosplayers that I was seeing. I might have recognized a Full Metal Alchemist cosplayer, or a Vampire Hunter D cosplayer, or an Inuyasha, or a Vampire Hunter, an Alucard, or a Helsing cosplayer, but not, at the time, a Death Note cosplayer, or some of the various other ones that might have been represented at the show. That's the thing. And about, I want to say 3 years later, if not four, because it might have been 2010. No, that would have made it 5 years later. So I'm going to say about 4 to 5 years later, I was friends with a major cosplayer that was a invited guest to Otakon, and she said that on her posts on Facebook, or in her posts on Facebook, she stated that she was going to be at Otakon, at that particular year's Otakon, as a panelist for the cosplaying panel. And I told her that I'm sadly going to have to miss it. I would love to at least go to be supportive to her, but at that time, I didn't have the funds to go to spend another $60 plus for a 3-day pass to meet one person I barely knew on Facebook, just to support her on a panel. But a few days later, she stated after the show was over that her panel went well, but the folks that ran it, this actual show staff, the Otakon staff, the volunteers, the vendors that she saw, the people who were ticket holders or pass holders, everybody was rude, unwelcoming, and she will not go back to another Otakon ever again, even if she was a paid guest or a panelist, because of how rude everybody treated her. And me still kind of raw about Otakon 2006, I agreed with her, even though I'm willing to give them their side a benefit of the doubt, because I don't know their side. I just know her side of the end result, which might have meant that, what I'm trying to say is, she could have been equally rude to the convention staff, to the volunteers, to the ticket holders. So, I don't know that, so that it's kind of hard for me to say, hey, there was rudeness on both sides, she just voiced her concern in regards to her experiences, and yet I didn't see anything coming from Otakon saying their side of the story. So, which leads me to Otakon 2017, which, as of this recording, still has one day left. I'll say that. As far as I've seen, there has been one minor hiccup. I think the post from Otakon was very vague. Just that it seemed that there could have been some minor incident in the Artist Alley area. Some people were guessing that it kind of got flooded due to the rain that we had. But still, that's beside the point. I'm going to, that's weather related. Stuff like that happens. And this year, 2017, was Otakon's first year in Washington, D.C., Washington, D.C.'s Convention Center, which is by far a huge, huge convention center. So, they have a lot of growing pains, and a lot of the negativity that I'm going to be relaying, or some of the hiccups I'll be relaying, can be kind of excused a little bit because of these growing pains and them being unfamiliar with the new convention center and their new setup. And I will say this, the new setup benefits them greatly, because if they had a limit on the number of people going into the dealer's room, they did not have that this year. From what I heard over the years, from what I heard back in 2006, and I'll say that, back in 2006, if my memory holds, I was told that there might have been a year or two that they actually sold out, or capped it, had to go with the cap of about 45,000 people. But 2006, they still had some extra tickets left over. But apparently last year, according to one of the guys who was getting his press pass, last year's numbers was about 29,000 people. And that correlated with what I saw on a YouTube video who was covering last year's convention, Otakon. Or I should say Otakon 2016. So, they might have went down in recent years. It's kind of hard to say whether it was part of the economy, because the economy has been a little bit tough. If money's tight, people don't really go to conventions that often, especially a long distance convention, meaning someone from Washington State is not going to travel all the way to Washington, D.C. just for a few days for a convention if they don't have the money. But yet, even though there will be a few people that will make that trip, this year, again, some of the problems, or at least some of the negativity, is still there. Again, I think the tickets were still $60+ for the weekend. They listed it as a quote-unquote, they still list it as a membership fee for their website, but a lot of the membership aspects, other than having a 3-day pass to the convention, doesn't really qualify for much, because there's no free stuff on the website. Maybe a few desktop patterns, nothing that you can find elsewhere, or I don't think there was any message boards on the website that you were granted access to. which, if that's the only thing on the site that you were granted as a membership to, there was no magazine or monthly subscription to anything else given by Otakon for when I was a quote-unquote member back in 2006. And I didn't see any plus this year from buying that quote-unquote $60 membership. Because there's a lot of places from Reddit to Facebook to YouTube to a plethora of other social media sites where anime fans could hang out and talk about anime other than the for free without spending quote-unquote $60+ for a particular website and access to a convention. Personally, I think offering a single-day pass is more beneficial because there could be people like myself who could only make it for the day, and thus the trying to justify a $60+ price tag is for one day does not cut it. Whereas a convention like AwesomeCon or a Baltimore Comic Con or a Wizard World Philly, they do offer day tickets as well as a weekend pass. Granted, the weekend passes are $75, but the like a Friday pass is $30. But the price as for those of you who would think but for overall weekend pass, $60 ain't a bad price. But the price that they put out is about standard for a lot of the anime conventions that are their peers. I think Anime USA, which comes up in the DC area in December, offers a similar pricing plan, and it's quote-unquote a membership, and there is no day passes. So there's that. The other problem I foresaw is that one person who was pressed kind of agreed with me that instead of being issued a press pass at when the convention starts, you should be able to register for press at least an half hour to an hour prior. That way you could find out where you're supposed to go, if there's a special line you got, if you're able to go in prior to the event, or what have you. Whereas you're allowed to receive, yeah, I could have went the day before on Thursday to pick up my press pass a day early and register a day early. There were still a few press people that had to register or registered on Friday. You registered the same time the show started, which was 9 a.m. But there was a few pieces of literature that had that the show started, quote-unquote, started at 8 a.m. From what I saw or was told, there might have been some miscommunication with either the programming book or some of the literature that they put out, which probably meant it wasn't 8 a.m., it was the standard 9 a.m., but still, getting your press pass the same time everybody else was allowed in puts a hell of a lot of confusion on the volunteers and the actual staff, because not only do they have to deal with the people that are regular ticket holders, but they have to deal with the new people who have a press pass as well, especially at a new location where you have people who might have been pressed the year before, not knowing, because it's a new location, not knowing where they are able to go in, who to speak to, where to go, so forth and so on. But and there seemed to be some lack of communication between the staff in reference to that and who you should see. Again, that was just a minor problem. Just a small problem. The only minor inconvenience that I saw was the bag check. Where most conventions, they have like a weapons check where they want to make sure your fake sword is actually a fake sword. not the real thing. It's because of an incident I think happened in Arizona with David Frank, the original Green Ranger, because somebody tried to go in dressed as the Punisher with real guns, knives, and weaponry to kill David. So thus, they had to have a bag check. And if you so much as moved outside of the range of the convention itself, you had to go through bag check every time. It's a necessity, but it just is annoying as hell. And if you get that, not that I got one, but if you get that one security agent who wants to be a picky SOB, yeah, there's a chance that you're going to run into a problem. But things went overly smooth. The people who did the bag checks did a fine job, and it was just, okay, you're good, go ahead. But the overall atmosphere of the other problem was the, the convention started at 9. That's because a lot of the panels started at 9 a.m. But, and I say that with a very big but, the Artist Alley, the main dealer room, and the main gaming area did not open until later, meaning the gaming room, which had the free-to-play arcade games, the console games, and the PC games, and the tabletop games, did not open until 10 a.m. The main dealer room did not open until 12 noon, and the Artist Alley did not open until 1-2 o'clock that afternoon, which kind of sucks because there were the people waiting to get to the gaming room and to dealer room made everything seem so congested and cramped. But once the dealer room and the gaming room opened up, that congestion went away. It kind of literally dispersed a heck of a lot more people, which made it more breathing room. If you're a person with anxiety and claustrophobia or the fear of crowds, that congestion could really irk a lot of stuff in you. So, and not to mention, when you have that, it makes taking photos, whether you're a professional photographer or a rank amateur like myself, or someone trying to cover the event, or a regular ticket holder trying to get a photograph, it's too much congestion to get enough pacing to take a quality shot. But I'm getting away from a lot of the bad stuff. The good stuff, I'll say this. To answer a lot of questions, did they change? Is the attitude change? Yes. Oddly, yes. The overall attitude of the convention, the Otakon itself, there was a more positive vibe. There was a more friendly vibe. There was more regular convention goers or ticket holders or non-cosplayers to cosplayers, meaning the ratio where, I'll say this, there was might have been about 51% cosplayers and 49% non-cosplayers, so it was almost a 50-50 mix, which is a good thing. I won't say a good thing, but more positive mix. And a lot of people who were in cosplay were friendly, open to talk about their cosplay. And not to mention, there was more of a mix to the cosplay. Not only did you have the standard Antaka Titan, or the Inuyasha, or the Dragon Ball Z, or the Death Note, or the Evangelion, or the Gundam cosplayers, there was a whole mess of other cosplayers as well. I saw a few Disney cosplayers. There was a few Marvel cosplayers. I saw one person dressed up as, I think the character's name is Yondu from Guardians of the Galaxy. There was a couple of Deadpools. There was a couple of, there was a Miss Marvel cosplayer who was very friendly and very polite. There was a Captain America cosplayer. There was a Thor. All these Marvel cosplayers were very well done. There was a couple of DC cosplayers. There was a variety of gaming cosplayers. Someone was dressed up as a Delta, which is also the character's name, a Big Daddy from BioShock. There was a few cosplayers that were dressed up from BioShock Infinite. There was someone dressed up from, oh, I thought the person was a Joker cosplayer, but I found out that I was wrong. It was a character from Overwatch that looks remarkably similar to the Joker. So that was interesting. There was, I mean, like I said, there was a wide variety of cosplayers. There was even Game of Thrones cosplayers. There was several. I saw a Rick from Rick and Morty. He was too quick before for me to stop and get a photo. There were a couple of other Rick and Morty cosplayers. I mean, there was a wide variety. And also, I found out today, one of the cosplayers I know, I think her name is Kaylee Cosplayer, as I think that's her Twitter, not Twitter, her Instagram handle. She went as Raiden on Saturday. She was literally, she was doing a Mortal Kombat cosplay on Saturday at Otakon, but me unable to get there on Saturday and on Sunday, I kind of missed her. I would have loved to have found her and probably get an interview for the show. But there was a lot going on in regards to press relations, meaning I got a chance to see the show floor before everybody else, which meant I got a chance to speak to Lucky Lucy Hall, I think her name is, and that's her Instagram handle. She was help modeling one of very few custom decaled cars that Rob the Mob, the two underscores between, to kind of highlight the, that is his Instagram name, Rob_the_mob, who did the decals for the full car wrap decals for the cars, and just to speak to some of the problems that I think he said, the car, something happened, he might have hit something, and the tire was about to deflate prior to the show. But it was wonderful talking to him, talking to the lovely Lucy Hall about the car, about her cosplay, being a booth model. And I got to speak to a lot of other different people that were on the show floor. Not to mention, I got to see a lot of the previews of the booths that were there, and we were told that because if they're set up and ready to sell, we're more than welcome to sell, buy from those particular booths. And yes, the growing trend of the quote-unquote gift boxes or the gift bag trend is still on the rise. There were, yes, at least one vendor doing a Pokemon themed grab box, or if you want to call it that, because they were in the shape of, they were very good, they were eggs, though, like the Pokemon eggs, but they were like $40-$50 a piece. The average bag was, actual bag was $20. There was the one booth that was selling the same type of grab bags I picked up in AwesomeCon a year or two ago for $45. But the thing is, there was a large ratio of these grab, mainstream, if you want to call them that, grab boxes were $40 to $50 for stuff that was worth $40 to $50. And that just you know, it's just, wait, why? And a lot of the content that was in these is only about four or five items, and with a chance of getting a PS4 or an Xbox One or a Nintendo Switch. But that's beside the point. Just seeing a lot of the vendors, there was a lot of stuff for the over 18 crowd that they had to either censor or block off to only allow those 18 and up to go see. There was also one of the booths that was handing out flyers and calendars. So I managed to get a calendar for, in reference to, it's an app called Fate Grand and Order. And they had a bunch of, I mean, well done cosplayers for that particular app. I mean, they were wonderful cosplayers. They even had somebody who professionally, I don't know if it was professionally done, but her Rita Repulsa outfit was awesome. So I had to give a shout out to Matt and his 4-State Retro Show that's going to happen in Hagerstown, Maryland this September 11th and 12th. So she was like, where? It's in Hagerstown, I-81 exit, I think it's exit 5. And so that was that. And I did get a chance to stop into the gaming room to see what was going on there. Granted, from what I was told, Nintendo would have been stopping by to hand out freebies in reference to, hey, if you can answer this trivia question, you get a freebie, and so forth and so on, and make some announcements about the Twitch, probably, which would have been stuff that most people would have known anyway. But there was still a lot of free-to-play games that were going on, whether it was Smash Brothers or Halo or or Mortal Kombat or Injustice. There was a lot of games you could have played, console games. There was a few Xbox Ones. There was a few 360s. There was a few PS3s, PS4s. There might have been a few Nintendo games that were there. There was a few consoles, PC computers set up with games you could play on them as well. Not to mention they had quite a few arcade games set up that were free to play as well, along with several arcade machines from Japan, including the infamous table flip game from Japan. I didn't get a chance to play this particular game due to the fact that there was quite a bit of a line, but it was very interesting to see in person, because you hear about this game, even though you see it on YouTube, it's kind of hard to believe unless you see a machine in person. So I had to excuse myself because I didn't want to butt in line, and I told the people in line I don't want to butt in line or cut in line. I heard about the machine. I wanted to take a good gander at the machine myself, and they completely understood. Thus, me saying that, hey, yes, it's a more friendly atmosphere. And the convention floors that they took up allowed for more space, and I guess that allowed the friendlier attitude. I did get a chance to free play Pachinko, which is a very interesting game. It's not my cup of tea, because I don't think I was winning. It's kind of hard to tell if you are actually winning Pachinko, but that, again, it was just getting that chance to play that, and again, speaking to a lot of cosplayers about anime, and I was pleasantly surprised to see a lot of cosplayers that were part of an anime that looked like what they were cosplaying as looked like a character from another anime or a movie, a mainstream movie. And they were happy to talk about their outfit, and they were not rude. They were very polite about it, and they were more than happy to talk about their fandom about that particular show or movie that they were portraying of, meaning I spoke to one cosplayer, her outfit looked like one of the wedding dresses from Big Trouble in Little China. And she's like, no, this outfit is from such and such show. And I went, well, I think it's more or less how you have, you know, pointing to her eyeliner. And she said, really? I never seen Big Trouble in Little China. And I was like, oh, dear God. but it was a way of, again, it was very friendly. There was one person dressed up as a character, one of the characters from Death Note. I think he was the main character from, cosplaying as the main character from Death Note, with the book up. And Snake, every time he'd take a picture of another cosplayer, he had the book up and he was taking their photo with an evil grin. I mean, it was fun. It was a fun atmosphere. It was a very welcoming atmosphere than I actually expected. So I was pleasantly surprised. I don't know if the fact that I was press kind of made the friendlier bubble up instead of the rudeness bubble up, but I'm willing to say it wasn't because of the press, because the press tag on my little tag that I was wearing, but it was not like, oh, you're press, but it was more aspect of, in general, there was a friendliness. The con was more friendlier, and when I spoke to somebody who has been coming to Baltimore or going to Baltimore over the years, he even said, yes, the aspect of Otakon has changed. It is more friendlier this time around. He was saying that it's because he thinks, and I asked him, was it because of a lot of the fresh, younger blood coming in and the newer anime that's being released, like Attack on Titan? He said, yes, that could be one of the major factors, that a lot of the younger blood is coming in and they are friendlier. There's a lot of fresh blood, and not just younger blood. And with the newer stuff coming out, it's giving that shot in the arm that the fandom actually needs. And instead of a lot of the elitism that might have been with the fandom 5-10 years ago, it might be still there, but it's now starting to erode away a little bit, and it's now getting to the point of, instead of who the hell are you and why the hell are you here, it's more or less, hey, welcome. You know, it's more of a welcoming atmosphere, and a lot of the people that are cosplaying are talking about their cosplay. They're talking about their fandom. I managed to kid with a couple of people dressed up as Cloud from Final Fantasy VII, and they laughed at the Phoenix Down joke I made. It was in good context, they got it, and everybody laughed, and, you know, it was very appropriate. So everybody had a good time, from what I saw. Other than the possible little bit of a incident, they said they had, again, from what I saw in reference to the post made by Otakon Saturday night, or sometime Saturday, they said they have to close down the Artist Alley due to weather, inclement weather. I think because it was heavy rains coming into DC, that part of the convention center might have had issues, in reference to who knows what, but that's just the standard thing. Other than the aspect of them at a new location and trying to get the feel of the location, there were some hiccups reference to getting in, but that's besides the point. I'm sure they'll get. Do I want to go back next year as press? Yes, I do. Just the other problem I have is more so directed to the Metro train, which gets people to DC and back. I would love to have them have a train going to and from DC on at least Saturday as well. I think they would earn enough money from people through the route to get to DC and back on a Saturday run, because, you know, heck, it would definitely, I would love to go into DC on a Saturday for a Saturday event. It would increase my convention going activities, but that's just one fellow's opinion, or I should say one podcaster's opinion. But other than that, I know there's going to be a few people saying, why don't you could have stayed at one of the hotels in DC. There's one thing a lot of you have to understand. Even though I have a what I call a 9-to-5 paying job, I'm considered ultra low income, and me staying at a hotel that might cost anywhere from $200 a night for a weekend hotel stay plus food. Granted, for one person, for food, hey, Domino's pizza for the weekend would last me a weekend, and a bottle of soda and water from the sink in the bathroom. I could have lived on scraps and rationed my food for the weekend, but the fact that costing a total of maybe $700 for hotel stay for the weekend, which would have meant a Friday night, a Saturday night, and a Sunday night to leave on a Monday, yeah, it would have probably cost me anywhere from $600 to $700, if not more. So that's an impossibility for me right now. As much as I would have loved to be there for the entire weekend, so that was a little bit out of my control. But I will say this: would I want to go back to DC for Otakon next year, 2018? Yes, I do. I want to see how, if they fix a lot of the, or I won't say their problems, but a lot of the hiccups that they might have had this year being at the new location, and me knowing their policies and procedures as press, I would love to go back. I hope, and I won't say I'm invited back next year, but I am approved next year, and hopefully I'll be able to put in for one of the celebrity guests or the guests that they have coming in to be able to interview one of them. Everybody, in regards to the press relations, were very polite, and at least through emails in person. I didn't have that much contact with them in person because of me wandering around taking everything in and observing the con and getting the feel for the show. So maybe next year I'll interview one of the celebrity guests. I was informed a day or two prior, a little more than a day or two prior, that there were a few openings for at least to interview one of the guests on Friday, but the time that they offered up would have been closer to 5 o'clock, and it would have been for only 10 minutes. But the thing is, that time frame, a 10-minute interview, which probably for what they did, would have limited me to stock questions, and I don't, as much as that would have probably been a good interest for all of you, it wouldn't have been in my eyes a good value to you. So, not to mention the way the MARC train going from DC back to Martinsburg, West Virginia, tends to be a little bit off schedule, meaning even though I left at 5 a.m., coming back, the first train didn't leave until a quarter after 3, the next train was 15 minutes later. Then it was, instead of being at 4:30, it left at 4:25. Then the next one was kind of iffy. So they tend to leave either earlier or later than what's scheduled, printed on their schedule. And so therefore, I decided, you know, that 10-minute time frame would not have been very good. And I politely declined it because of that. And they completely understood, and I thanked them. And like I said, through the emails, they were very polite. But overall, like I said, it was very good. I enjoyed myself. They actually improved. So they proved me wrong. I cannot bash Otacon anymore. I'm saying that right now, folks. I cannot bash Otacon anymore. Because I can't give them, I do not have any grounds to stand on. Because of how good it was this year. How welcoming. How much, I won't say access. That me being press, that's different. But the fact that there was more room to grow, more space, more access, and everything seemed more open and easily accessible. Meaning, all I had to do was wait until 10 o'clock for at least the gaming room to be open. I could have hung there for another 2 hours until the main dealer's room opened up. So, but for the most part, speaking of the dealer's room, to go back on that topic for a little while, there was still a very, I don't know if they would have opened up the few, there was still, even though they had a lot of room to fit a few more booths in there were still some that seemed unoccupied. I don't know if they weren't showing up until Saturday or Sunday, but they just seem unoccupied. I don't know. Again, I don't know if they were for the celebrity signings or what have you, or the vendors, those particular vendors did not show up for whatever reason, or they would have shown up Saturday or Sunday. I don't know that. So I can't make a full judgment call, but there seemed to be a few there were tables sent up for those vendors, but they were not there. Which, when you see, as someone who tends to go to conventions a lot, and there's only one, it could put out a lot of the attendees to go to that area, especially if there was a few people that did have tables in those areas, and it just made them look so sad and so scarce, and it could have, people seeing the empty tables could have put them off of going that far to visit those vendors. So hopefully those spots during the weekend got filled or did fill up. But that's all I have to say. Legitimately, I was pleased. I am happy. My viewpoint on, again, my viewpoint on Otacon has changed. Whereas I would have given them a 4 out of 10 back in 06, I'm going to have to give them at least a hard 7.5 out of 10 this year. That's saying something. That is an improvement. Bravo, Otacon. Bravo. Getting a hard ass like myself, and I'm trying to keep this relatively PG, a hard ass like myself to change his mind. And I tend to hate everything. So, for me to change my mind, good job. Good job. And hopefully I'll be able to become press again next year. Hopefully I'll be able to come all 3 days. Hopefully I'll be able to meet up with a few more people and be more involved and more recognized, and you know, in regards to, hey, we seen you last year, welcome back, and so forth and so on, because I want to go back. I'm going to end it here because I'm starting to repeat myself. But overall, that's it. I'll be posting, if I haven't posted all my photos from the show already on Instagram and sharing it to our Facebook page, I will be over the course of this week. On Monday, I believe I'll be recording a episode. I was invited to be on Reverend Jay Leal's, one of his many podcasts. I think it's going to be Geekcore, and we'll probably be talking about Otakon again, and a whole mess load of other things, too. I'm more than happy to go on his podcast, check his website out for where his particular, he has more than one podcast. So go to Skeleton Crew, I think SkeletonCrewBrand.com. I'll put a link in the description. Speaking of also, don't forget to listen to our podcasts. Not just this episode, but all our other podcasts, excluding our Michelle. If you missed her panel on Saturday at Otakon, we do have an interview that we did with Michelle Knotts back in December. Again, Michelle Knotts voices Team Rocket's Jesse from Pokemon. So visit our website at thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com and scroll back to December and listen to our interview with Michelle Knotts. Not to mention, if you use an Apple device, you could either go to iTunes and or Apple Podcasts to subscribe and listen to our show and always be caught up with brand new episodes, which we drop every Monday. Not to mention, if you don't have an Apple device, you can always use Google Play Music or whatever favorite podcasting app you favor. So, if you have a smartphone, you're able to listen to our podcasts. I say that because I've spoken to a good number of people say, I don't have a computer, yet they have a smartphone in their hand. So, not to mention, we are on Facebook. Our Facebook page, you can find us on Facebook by going to facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast. If you want to email us about certain things, about, heck, if you want to talk about your, email us about your favorite anime, or favorite anime character, or if you disagreed with what we said, or if you have an Otakon story, feel free to message us on Facebook at our Facebook page, again, which is facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast, or you can email us at longcoatmafia@gmail.com. We also have a Twitter account, and you could follow us and stalk us on Twitter by going to Longcoat Mafia. You could do the same on Instagram and see some of the photos that we took at Otakon by looking up Longcoat Mafia and clicking that subscribe button. We are kind of working on our YouTube channel. We have to upload for it. We still have a few videos that we have to upload, so please stay tuned for that. All the links, if you missed out or misheard in reference to finding us and where to find us and how to email us, the links will be in the description of this podcast. So, goodbye for now, and take care. I hope a lot of you who are listening to this, who went to Otakon, you had a good time. And if you haven't gone to Otakon, maybe you should think on going next year. So, either way, take care, guys, and speak to you again next week.
See you next time on the Longcoat Mafia.